All right, so we have been talking about last week, it was being led of the Spirit. Previous couple of weeks, it was, we were talking about having faith in signs or miracles and the danger that that can be, how it can lead you astray. Last week, being led of the Spirit, we found in the Scriptures that being led of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit leads us away from sin. It leads us away from the law. It leads us into obedience to Christ. We didn't find anything in the Scriptures that we Christians should expect everyday guidance from God about if we should do something or go somewhere. We did not find that in the Scriptures. Not that we will ever deny that sometimes God gives that guidance, okay? We believe that. We see that in the New Testament happen at times. But nowhere in the Scriptures is that offered to us as something that we should expect for daily living. What we should expect for daily living is the Word of God to be our guide. And the Spirit works through the Word of God. And we talked specifically about marriage as an example. If you're going to get married, the Bible gives directions for it. You don't need God to specify a person to you. All right? He already specified rules in the Scriptures to determine if a person is a good person or a bad person. And so on. So while we do believe in the leading of the Spirit, we absolutely reject the leading of the Spirit as is being used in modern Christianity, where they completely ignore the Scriptures and go by their feelings for daily living, and they call it the Spirit of God. That is not of God. So, that being said, we're going to look this morning at the voice of God. Does God speak to people? Does God talk to people? And if He does, how does He talk to people? Let's pray. Father, do guide us as we open up Your Word. We pray that this precious book would become relevant to our daily experience and that we would understand all that is written and be obedient to it. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, I want to start this morning in Numbers chapter 12. We're going to admit that if you read through the Scriptures, that there's an awful lot of times that God said something to somebody, to a particular person. God spoke to a person. All right, so if God does speak to people, in what manner does He? How would we know if it was the voice of God? Should we expect to hear the voice of God? What should be our expectation of hearing from God? Now, I'm going to start out by something that God says very specifically about this point in Numbers chapter 12. And we'll read the first 8 verses. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now I want you to note that as we look at this passage really quick, God is speaking to three people: Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. He's speaking audibly. They can hear him. He's standing in the tabernacle door, covered by a cloud, and he's talking. I'm going to absolutely insist 100% this morning that every instance that we see God speak to people, when it says God said something to somebody in the scriptures, this is how it happened. All right, 99% of everything that happens in modern fallen Christianity where people talk about the voice of God, they themselves are the only person that heard it, and they heard it in their head or in their soul or somewhere in their body. They heard something they call the voice of God, but there was no audible noise. Now, you can't do that when there's multiple people hearing from God. You can pretend if you're the only person. You can come to us and you can say, God spoke to me. And when nobody was there to witness and nobody heard anything, we can't judge anything whether there was any speaking or not. But when God spoke in the scriptures, people heard him with their ears, physical ears. And you can't do that when you're in a group of three people and God calls into the camp and he calls Moses and Miriam and Aaron to come to the tabernacle so he can talk to them. They three had to agree together that something said something, and they all three heard it. All right? None of this nonsense about something, an impression that we get in the soul or something chattering in our brain. God spoke, it says. They heard him. They heard him just like you're hearing me right now. But this is a small point. I want to give you the main point that I come to this passage for, is the fact that God says something about his communication with people in this passage. When he's talking to, he's complaining against Aaron and Miriam for the fact that they spoke against Moses when God had taken Moses as a special friend and had spoken face to face with Moses, and Moses had seen God. And God said to these three people in speaking to them, I don't normally talk to people this way, he said. Moses is somebody special who has a special privilege in speaking face to face with me that I don't usually do for people. He said, usually, if I have a prophet and I want to send my word to the people and I'm going to use a man, I'm going to come to a man, I'm going to talk to him, I'm going to tell him something so that he can talk to the people, I'm going to use one of two different methods. This is what he says. I'll make myself known to him in a vision. Okay? Now, in a vision, I don't believe there's any audible voice in a vision. When a prophet sees a vision, you leave reality that is around you, and you are transported in your mind, soul, whatever, into a place that you aren't physically actually there, and you see things that, who knows? God's showing you things in a different place. You literally leave your surroundings and you go to a new, like you were transported to a different world, and you see visions like things happened around you. God says, I'll talk to prophets that way. And he said, or I might speak unto him in a dream. He did that to Solomon. Solomon was sound asleep when God came to him and said, hey, what do you want? And Solomon made his prayer. And God, in Solomon's dream, God blessed him and said, I'll give you what you ask. I'm going to make you the wisest king, and I'll also make you the richest king, and so on and so on. And so there was no audible voice here. Solomon's sound asleep when this is happening, but God is communicating with him when he's sound asleep. And Solomon prays when he's sound asleep, and God answers the prayer they pray. It's all a dream. And God says to these three people when he calls them out of the camp, that this is my likely communication with a prophet. My most likely communication with a prophet is that I'll appear to him in a vision, or I'll give him a dream. But he says, I don't do that with Moses. I talk face to face with him, and he's actually seen me. He said, I don't usually do that with people. Now, I want you to just take a moment to think for a minute. If God is speaking out of the tabernacle door to Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, And he is saying to them that this is my likely method of communication with a prophet, but I have a higher level of communication with Moses. What does that do for the rest of the group of Israel who are not prophets and not Moses? Now, we're living in a special time right now in this book of Numbers right now. This is a special time. The people who lived in the camp right then, they all had actually heard God speak to them when he had come down on the mountain and he had spoken to the entire congregation of Israel off the mountaintop and given them the law, part of the law. These people had heard God speak to them. Most people have not. Okay, so I'm going to make this statement that if God says that he will communicate in visions or in dreams to prophets, that means that he generally does not communicate to the masses at all. Okay? The average person does not hear directly from the mouth of God. The average person, we all have the scriptures. We can all read everything that God ever intended to say to man in the scriptures. This book is complete. It's finished. It makes the man of God thoroughly furnished to every good work if you have this book. You don't need anything outside of it, okay? If God wants to tell you something that's not in this book, he can. He's God. He can do what he wants. We're not going to stop God or limit God. But if you have this book, you have everything that God ever wanted you to know in life, all right? So, God does not generally speak to the average people in general, God does not speak to the average people. He communicates his message to people through chosen messengers that he sends to communicate his message to. So for example, Jonah, God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them in 40 days I'm going to destroy their city. God didn't say anything to the Ninevites. He was dead silent to the city of Nineveh, except that he sent a prophet to tell them exactly what he wanted them to hear. So he spoke with one person, and that Jonah went and told all the city of Nineveh. Now, let me tell you what's going on in Christianity around us right now. It's really, really, really sad. I'm going to read you something here that is typical of what I'm seeing happening, and this is creeping into fundamental evangelical churches where real Christians are. This isn't just hoodlum Christians that don't have any knowledge of God or the Bible. I mean, literally, good, solid people who believe in God and believe the scriptures and have some conservative values, they are listening nonstop to God giving them directions. Only, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not God. I guarantee you it is not God. But listen to this little thing that I printed off the web this morning. Have you ever wished you could just sit down and have a long talk with the Lord? Wouldn't it be wonderful to move beyond having a theology that states that God loves you to actually hearing him whisper words of love into your heart, okay? This is the only way that anybody claims to communicate with God today. He doesn't actually say anything in your ear. We want him to communicate his love into our heart. Did you know that the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked? Who can know it? Now, how on earth are we supposed to take the communications, the thoughts of our hearts, and interpret those to be the words of God? If we can't even understand and discern our own heart, it's so bad. How do we get this communication from God that's beating in our heart all day long? Okay, let's keep reading. When you're worried or confused, wouldn't you love to see the situation from his perspective and hear how he wants you to respond? I would love that, but actually he gave us the full book of directions that teaches us everything that we need to know about life. Okay, so when things don't seem to be going your way and your prayers aren't answered the way you had hoped, wouldn't it be great to hear him tell you where he is in the midst of it and what he is working out in your life? Are you ever just a little bit jealous of others who say with such confidence, "The Lord said"? Jesus promised that my sheep hear my voice, he says. That was not a promise. Sorry. If you are one of his sheep, then he is speaking of you, and you are hearing his voice. The problem is that we have not learned how to recognize his voice and differentiate it from all the other voices that bombard our hearts and minds. Mark Verkler's teaching on the four keys to hearing God's voice has helped thousands of people of every age on every continent begin to recognize the voice of the Lord within their own hearts, clearly and consistently, leading to a deeper intimacy with him, as well as greater faith, hope, and joy in their lives. Wouldn't it be incredible if you clearly heard God's voice every single day for the rest of your life? As a result of this teaching, you can receive daily direction from the wonderful counselor who encourages you and guides you in cultivating great relationships with family and friends. You will learn divine patterns for approaching God and four vital keys that will allow you to clearly hear God's voice every day. You will begin to discern God's voice from other voices which clamor for your attention, and how to record what God reveals to you using two-way journaling as you confirm it through a variety of methods. You will experience Jesus' guarantee that my sheep hear my voice. Your life will be transformed. He says, by the way, if you guys want to go buy this book, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice, that there is a money-back guarantee if it doesn't work. Everybody who reads and follows this book will hear from God every day. Now listen, I'm going to go to John chapter 10 really quickly. I want to correct his statement here about my sheep hear my voice, because he's using this completely out of context. John 10, and we'll go let's just start back in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I wonder how come he doesn't have a ministry called, And They Follow Me, instead of one called My Sheep Hear My Voice. How come we're picking out the words My Sheep Hear My Voice instead of the words And They Follow Me? That's very unfortunate. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you know what Jesus is telling to these people? He said, you know what? You're not my sheep because you didn't believe. He said, if you had been my sheep, you would have believed. That's what my sheep hear my voice means. When he said, my sheep hear my voice, he said, if you were my sheep, you would have believed me and you would have followed me. But you're not my sheep, and it's evident that you're not my sheep because you didn't believe in me and you're not following me. This is not a promise that we will hear the voice of God. This is a promise that when we hear the voice of God, we will believe it if we are his sheep. That's what this promise is about. God never, ever intended or told us that we would hear directly from him. In fact, quite the opposite is indicated in scriptures, that will not be so in normal life. But hey, it happened a lot in the scriptures. Let's look at some of those times. I've got a little list here that I just want to look over, just to show you the parameters of how God spoke with people, what happened, what took place. Let's go right to the first time God ever said anything to a human being in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. It says, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, so God came to Adam in the garden, and he said to him, You can eat of every tree in the garden except this one. Don't eat of this one, because in the day you eat of this one, you will die. Now, how many of you guys think that Adam just was walking through the garden and he was just communicating with God in his heart, which wasn't wicked, by the way. Our heart is wicked, but Adam's wasn't. He was not a sinner at the time. But let's just say he was walking through the garden, he was communicating with God, and in this quietness that we're supposed to develop to hear the voice of God, he just looked at this tree. And in his inner spirit, something said to him, "Don't eat that tree." Do you think that's what happened? No, I don't. Because it says that God commanded him. That isn't how God commands us. That would be like God walking up to Adam and saying, "You see that tree right there? Don't eat that tree." And Adam heard him with his ears. Okay, that's how God talked. Now, the next chapter, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Adam and Eve sinned. They didn't listen to the voice of God. And they got themselves in deep trouble. And in verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden at the end of the day, and in the cool of the day, rather. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?'" Eve heard this too. "And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?'" Adam's in the garden, and God comes down, and Adam heard God. And if you want to interpret this passage any other way, it would be absolute folly, because it said Adam said something to God too. Now, let's say that Adam just had an impression in his soul that God was in the garden and he went and hid. And then God had an impression in his soul that Adam said, "I'm scared of you, God." You see, it says that Adam spoke to God, and it says that God spoke to Adam. Now, when Adam spoke to God, we wouldn't doubt that Adam used his mouth and said something. But when it says that God spoke to Adam, we get all messed up about how God talks to people. I'll tell you for absolute certain that 99% of every impression that ever happened in the heart of a person was the flesh. God doesn't use the method of impressing something on your heart, generally speaking. Now, I'll tell you, let's go back a little bit, because there is a method in which this does take place in the life of a believer. God instilled inside of every human being what we call a conscience. We have a conscience that condemns us if we don't do right. All right? We get inside as we look at this book and read about Christ and all the things that God has written, and we get more and more and more made like Him. More and more and more and more, our heart will understand things. We will understand humans. We will understand the need of man. We will understand hurting people. We will understand opportunity to preach the gospel. And in many ways, we will be led of the things that we have poured into our life through this book. We will be led by our own physical being to do the work of God. And those things will be of God. But it's not the voice of God. All right? That is the working of a human being that is under the control of the Holy Spirit and that is filled with the Word of God. All right? It's not God talking to you. When God talks in the Scriptures, there is audible voice. You don't believe me? Go through the Scriptures and look. Let's just try one. How about 1 Samuel chapter 3? Verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." All right, God very specifically note this, that he says in all of the land of Israel in these days, God did not talk to anybody. All right? Now that would be odd, the way people claim that God wants to speak to people. That would be odd that God wouldn't be talking to anybody. But he didn't. There was no prophet in the land in those days. There was nobody who had any visions of God. All right? "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called thee not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle, etc. I'm not going to read any further. In this story, we do not have Samuel having a vision. He is not asleep and dreaming. He is awake. He's up running back and forth across the temple to go to Eli because he heard his name. All right? And every time he runs to Eli, Eli says, I didn't call you. Go lay down. And he does this three times. And finally, Eli senses that God is trying to get a hold of Samuel. And so he tells him what to do. And Samuel goes and lays down, and God comes again. And he called. It says he called. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. Audibly in Samuel's ears, he heard God say his name. That's what happened here. He did not have an impression in his heart that Eli and his sons were in trouble. All right? God actually talked to him. 1 Kings, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. It's so easy to be a fake at this until you go to the scriptures and find out that when God spoke in the scriptures, it wasn't the way these fakes are doing it. So 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 12. You know Elijah's out there in the cave hiding. It says, And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. There was a voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? This was a physical place. Elijah was not having a dream. He was not in a vision. He was not transported in his soul to somewhere else. He was not in some other form of mind. He did not have an impression in his heart. He was sitting in a cave and he heard his name. And he goes and he stands, he gets up physically and he walks and he goes and he stands in the door of the cave with his head covered. And he hears God talk to him. And God tells him what he wants him to know. You know, this can't be any more clear. When you're alone, when you're the only person there, if you're the only person there and God comes and talks to you, there's no other witness if there was noise or what happened. But when there's other people there, you can't fake it when there's other people there. In the New Testament, God spoke to Jesus three or four times or something, at least. And every time it happened, other witnesses recorded that they heard it too. Okay, but we're just going to go to one of the times in John chapter 12. And we'll just start at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now somebody heard this voice. It's recorded here in John by John, who heard God say this to Jesus. It says, The people therefore that stood by and heard it, they heard it, said that it thundered. Now, I don't know if they did. I think that they probably could have understood what God was saying if they were paying any attention, but they didn't want the glory of God, and they didn't believe in Jesus. So they were not in any way open to receiving anything from God. But they heard the voice, and they said, it thundered. And they're looking up probably into a clear blue sky and said, what happened here? It thundered. And it says, and others said, an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. When God spoke from heaven to Jesus, everybody that was standing there heard his voice. Everybody heard it. Because it was an audible voice that was meant for physical ears, because we are physical people. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Acts. This is the scary book. All right, God talks a lot to people in the book of Acts. Chapter 8. Just going to look at three instances where the Bible says that God spoke to people in one way or another in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, every time as we go through the Old Testament, every time that we come across anything that would indicate if there was or was not an audible voice, there's always clear indication that there was an audible voice when God spoke. But now we come to the book of Acts, and it's like this type of guidance is recognized by an unspiritual church as something that happens in your inner soul. All right? We can sit in a room full of people and we can all sit and say that God said something to me. But the funny thing of it is that nobody else in the room heard it. We all get messages from God, and we'll stand up and we'll share those messages one after another. God said this, God said this, God said this. But how come if God said all these things that we were the only one that heard it? And we can look at the book of Acts and God is constantly talking to people. But what business do we have to have any assumption that when it says that an angel spoke to Philip, that Philip never heard anything? That he was laying lazily on his couch with his Bible dusty on the shelf. He didn't probably have a Bible yet at that point. They were too expensive. But that would have been like what we would have been. What business is it of ours to assume that he was lazily laying on the couch caring nothing about the will of God, and all of a sudden there was a strong impression come over his life that he was supposed to be a missionary to a certain Ethiopian who was traveling down this road in the south? I mean, give me a break. It says, the scripture says an angel spoke to him. Now when I read that, I think that there was an angel came up to him and said something, and Philip standing there heard with his ear that this angel told him, go do this. Then he gets down there and it says, the Holy Spirit said, go join yourself to this chariot. You think that he just had an impression inside? I don't think he had an impression inside. I think the Holy Spirit actually said something to him. All right? Now, Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. Peter has just had a vision. He's had a vision of the sheet. All the animals in it, that God says to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. This is a vision. There was probably no audible voice in that vision. He was probably out of it, unconscious, something. He had a vision, but then he wakes up. And in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him. Now, this is not a vision anymore. Peter is awake and conscious. He is sitting up. He's thinking about this vision that he has. And it says, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Now, we don't usually get these kind of revelations when God talks to us. They're not usually this specific, like, because it's not God. Because if it was God, it would be, because God knows everything. See, Peter's up on the roof. The three men are down at the door. Peter has no idea what's going on down at the door. You can't fake this one, okay? So the Spirit said to Peter, there's three men who are seeking for you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? All right. The Holy Spirit said to Peter, three men are looking for you. Go down and meet them. That's what it says. It says he said it. Chapter 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. All right, listen. I should have read the first verse here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manning, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There was multiple people here in a room when the Holy Ghost audibly said in the room, not to one person who was hearing something in his heart or soul, he audibly said in the room to the people, Separate Barnabas and Saul. And they who laid their hands on them and prayed for them and fasted, they heard the voice of God. All right? It was an audible voice in the room. It was not some crazy thing that you can make up anything you want in your own heart. When you're just a pretender, you can make up anything you want in your heart. And they do, don't they? And we have another story. We're going to run out of time this morning because we just get into the other side here. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'd like to read the whole chapter. I'll skip the first 9 verses, the first 8 verses, as not super to the point. But let's start in verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. And like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and will make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. This is where American Christianity is today, right now, headed. Even the conservative part of American Christianity is headed right here. We are walking away from the Word of God. We are walking away from the commandments of holiness. And we are using our own heart to teach the Word of God. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And now God says, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? This is what we need the prophets to have, is to have heard God's word. And instead of hearing God's word, they have prophesied something they got out of their own heart. And do you believe that these prophets believed that they were speaking the word of God when they spoke? Yes, they did. Because as we read further on, it tells us that they prophesied out of the deceitfulness of their own heart. Their own heart was deceived. And they did believe that God was speaking to them. And they did believe that when they promised the people peace, that they were promising them from the word of God that had happened in their own heart. But it was not the word of God. Verse 19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, the law, and had caused my people to hear my words from the law, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets that saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? Jeremiah is making a big difference here between God when he comes to a prophet. Jeremiah is a prophet. God spoke many things to Jeremiah. Jeremiah heard from God many, many times. The whole book of Jeremiah is a record of the things that God said to him. But God says to Jeremiah, I don't want people who have something, who are getting something out of their heart and say, I did it. I want a prophet that actually heard my words. If we're going to hear from God, we're going to actually hear from the words of God. What hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? In verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus shalt thou say unto the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have not sent you, saying ye shall, and I have sent unto you, saying ye shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city which I gave unto your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now, Jeremiah mentions a number of things in this passage, in this chapter. One of the things that I want you to note is the fact that he says that if the prophets who are preaching had used the words of the Lord, they would have turned the people from their sins. And you will find that every time you get these people who hear from God all the time, God's constantly talking to them, they are not preaching holiness. They are preaching peace. Jeremiah doesn't say it in this chapter, but he says it in another chapter, that if a prophet comes and prophesies peace, he'll be known that he's a prophet when what he says comes to pass. But he says, if you look historically at the prophets of the past, these are my own words, he said, if you look historically at the prophets of the past, he said, they didn't usually come preaching peace. They usually came preaching against kingdoms and nations to tear them down and pluck them up. He said, usually that's what prophets' message have been. Now, how many of you guys would like to hear from God every day if you heard the words that Jeremiah heard from God? I'll tell you, anybody who's hearing from God is going to hear those kinds of words because God is upset with our world. He's called them to repentance and they have refused him. And if you're hearing from God, that's what he's going to be talking to you about. Because he sent us to preach repentance to all men. I am not, if anybody in this room has ever heard from God, I don't mind. I don't care if God's spoken to you. I don't care if the Holy Spirit has led you. I don't care. If God has given you guidance that is further beyond the scriptural guidance that we all have and share together, I don't care if it's really from God. But I'm going to tell you right now that 99% of everything that is happening right now in modern Christianity, where we're hearing from God all the time, is not God. It is not God. What this guy who writes this book, Four Keys to Hearing the Voice of God, whatever that was, what he first tells you to do is you go into a place of quietness. Then you seek for vision. And then, I forget now, but I suppose you could probably do it better if you were a Buddhist. I'll bet you. You could probably do it better if you were a Buddhist than a Christian. And you get into a place where you can communicate basically with your own heart, and then you call it God. That was my own words. You won't find that in the book. You know what? I can tell you right now, if you're communicating internally, you better be awfully careful, because God says that there's a wicked heart that lives in there that has to be brought under obedience to the Word of God. And that wicked heart is likely to lead you astray. Well, Paul gets a little feisty about this subject. In Galatians, I told you last week that we would go to this verse, so this will be my last verse. In Galatians chapter 1, he gets a little feisty talking about this subject, warning us about the possibly hearing from God and the dangers that it could pose. How could God ever lead a person astray? Well, I don't suppose he could. But perhaps we could think something that was God was leading us astray, perhaps. Let's just read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. He says to the Galatians, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I don't know if we can call fallen angels angels. I don't know how to interpret everything that Paul says in this passage. But he just leaves it as though it was one of the holy angels who stands in the presence of God. If one of the holy angels who stands in the presence of God were to come to church tonight and to stand right here in this pulpit and preach some other gospel than that which is recorded in the book, he would be accursed. We do not follow the voice of God in any manner ever that is not compared to the Scriptures. Because supposing that God talked to you, well, you know, the unfortunate thing is, if we believe that God is going to communicate with us on a daily basis what we should do and where we should go and how we should think and who we should marry and what we should eat and if we should eat and you name it, if we believe that God is going to communicate like that, Satan can come walking down our street and pretend to be God just like he says he does, because he says the Scripture says he turns himself into an angel of light. And he can come walking down the street and he can say, do this, do that. And then we have to go to the Scriptures and we have to find out if that was actually God talking or not. And when he came to Jesus and he started telling Jesus what to do, he was holy enough to quote Scripture to him. It's a pretty complex situation. I would run as fast as my legs could carry me from any idea that God communicates daily information to you. I would run from that. We don't see that in the Scriptures as an everyday form of life for anybody outside of perhaps some prophets who were the direct link between God and the people. And those all were before the Scriptures were finished too. And we have not seen, since the Scriptures were finished, we have not seen in Christianity the same kind of activity in prophets as we see the prophets of the time of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to limit God. If God wants to do it, he can do it, okay? If God wants to tell somebody, I'm not his boss, he's my boss. All right, he can do what he wants. But I'm telling you, historically, for the last 2,000 years of the church age, we have not seen prophets in Christianity like there were prophets in the time of the Scriptures before the Scriptures were finished. All right? And we shouldn't be seeking for that. God never told us to seek that kind of leading. He never told us to seek hearing his voice. And certainly, what I'm telling you this morning is, if you're going to hear from God, you're going to one day be sitting and an angel's going to come up to you like he came to Abraham. It's going to be something like this. An angel's going to come up to you and he's going to say something like he said to Mary when he said, or whoever he said, I'm Gabriel. He said, I'm one of the angels that stands before God. And he's going to sit there and he's going to talk to you and you're going to hear him and you're going to hear what he says. And even then, you better check his message, because Paul says we don't just believe angels because they're angels. We got to find out if there's truth in what we are being told. But I'll tell you the scariest part about this voice of God that we don't hear with our ears, but that we hear in our being. It is so much easier to be connected to our own heart than it is to be connected to a holy God who doesn't like sin. And that's where the problem is. We're not looking for God. If we were looking for God, it's easy to find God's word and will in the book. Very easy. I do not believe that on an everyday, ordinary basis, God communicates with most of his people outside of the scriptures. But sometimes he does. But he doesn't ever tell us that we should have that as an ordinary part of our daily life. It's not something that we should feel like we are missing out something of God if we don't have this. Like this guy who authors this wicked book. It's a very wicked book. And he tells us that we should hear from God every day. And that what we're looking to hear from God is, oh, we want him to actually whisper words of love into our heart. Well, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? So, how do you say it stronger than that? If we didn't believe the scriptures, how are we going to believe it if God whispers into our heart? When you're worried or confused, wouldn't you love to see the situation from his perspective and hear how he wants you to respond? Yeah, actually we would. But you know what the scripture says? We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't believe in a voice of God that's inaudible, that you are the only person that hears and that happens inside of your wicked being. I don't believe in that kind of a voice of God. I don't believe God talks to his people that way. Now, let me tell you, because you're going to read, I'll give you a warning, you're going to read over church history, and there's going to be many, many very highly spiritual people, revival kind of people, that talk about the voice of God, and they're going to refer to inner things, and I'm telling you, I do not believe that these people are crooks. I do not believe that they are wrong in many of the things that they say, only I think they use the wrong terminology about it. And if they understood the way that the voice of God is being used today and how people are using it in daily life, they would correct their statements. Because many, many revivalists of the past will talk about this inner leading from God all the time, but they are not talking about what we're talking about today. They're talking about these inner things that happen in their life and their heart, where they felt the presence of God and they felt the direction and they saw providence open doors for them, and yet their entire life was Bible-based and they used the Word of God in their ministry as what they did, and they preached the truth of Scripture. And what they talk about in their books is not the same thing that is happening in modern Christianity. Even though I do not like their terminology, it's not the same thing as what's happening today, which is just absolutely a wholesale rejection of God for a worship of the flesh. All right. Be careful if you're listening for the voice of God, where you get it from. Let's take a break.